All right. Hi, everybody.
Hello, hello, hello. We are live. Just trying live. To check. I'm actually trying to check and follow and make sure we are live.
Looks like Facebook we're not. Let me look at that.
So welcome to the Kevin Ross Emery Show. We're having trouble streaming to Facebook. This may be an issue on Facebook's end. It's possible the stream was ended or deleted on Facebook. We'll keep trying and let you know if it's resolved. Please check Facebook to ensure the stream looks okay. If this continues for a while, try creating a new live stream or just remove this destination from the stream and re-add it. So we're going to... So, hello everybody. Welcome to the Kevin Ross Emery and
Ashley Olstein. And
today, guest is
Matt Connor.
Is that some kind of gang sign or something? Because I know all the cool ones are taken. So if you want to start a gang, you got to come up with something nobody's using. Is that what we're doing?
You know, whatever it takes. We're on LinkedIn.
All the gangs on LinkedIn.
All the gangs on LinkedIn.
Oh, I don't think LinkedIn, I think that violates their terms of service. I don't think you can be in a gang on LinkedIn.
You can't declare it as your title.
Oh, okay. Because I know they don't allow Bloods and Crips on LinkedIn. I know that. I know that from personal experience from when I lived in Compton.
Okay.
Did you really live in Compton?
Mm-hmm. I was a member of both the Bloods and the Crips simultaneously. Not to brag.
That's pretty funny. How long ago were you there?
Oh, years ago. That it was a different time, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm much less violent now. Right, Dr. Kevin?
Yeah. Well, I've never seen you be violent at all.
Oh, you should have known me back then.
Back in the day, the good old days.
So. It wasn't good. It was, I'll tell you, thugging and bugging in C-Town.
I removed it and re-added it, and I think we're on Facebook. Welcome, Facebook.
Welcome, Facebook. I think it is working. I'm going to check right now. Let's see.
The fun. Well, so
we got to do this again for the Facebook people.
Oh, the...
Well, you know...
I think it's this.
This is for Ashley to say her name, and this is for people to, because in my view, Matt is underneath me and Ashley's to this side of me. So I'm doing the, you know, I don't know how it looks on Facebook. Are we on Facebook? Did you check?
Ooh, it just switched. Did you do that, Ashley?
I did because he was pointing to me. So where am I now, Kevin?
You're over there for me.
That's so weird. Oh, that's because we're both hosts. So you're over there for me.
Oh.
Well, you know,
I'm switching
as
back.
They say, you can go either way. You know, some people go to the left and some people go to the right. As long as we end up in Oz, we're all good.
We're all good. All paths lead to. All right. I'm looking on Facebook while you guys say hello to each other.
So, Matt, it's been a month. So, I have a question for you right up front.
Uh-huh.
And ask you before we went on air, but you and I have conversations, whether the camera's rolling or not, we don't oftentimes care. I'm hearing there's still a block that we're not getting our shows after we do them live onto IPM Nation. I guess we're waiting for something from you.
No, they're on there. I think I changed the name of the page too. I think it's ipmnation.com/Kevin Ross Emery.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to know.
Yeah.
I'm just checking because I get the, I still haven't heard from Matt and I don't think our shows are on there. No names mentioned. So I'm like, So now I know that they're on there. So first of all, let's welcome Matt Connerton, who comes the first Thursday of every month. He has his own show from 9 a.m. till noon, where he does local bands, artists, music, not just local, right?
You correct
people that come in. Is there a genre to this music?
No, we are multi-genre. We, you know, a lot of rock bands, but also, you know, singer-songwriters, hip-hop, the occasional country artist, you know, electronic music, all kinds of stuff.
And it's WMNH.
WMNH 95.3 FM in glorious Manchester, New Hampshire.
And
on
they
Canal Street.
Find it on IPMNation.com or MattConnerton.com.
Yeah. In fact, if you go to MattConnerton.com/live, that's the easiest way to stream the show live on Saturday mornings. And of course, we have the archives and everything there too. And all the social media links, contact info, show archives, et cetera, et cetera. That's literally what I say at the start of my show. Ooh, very nice.
Nine
did you do that, stuff? Ashley? Who did?
I what, did. That's that, a that new looks,
one. That's very cool.
That's a new one.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay.
There we go.
It's prominent.
Yeah, really. And yeah. The color's eye-catching too.
Yeah, so, I do like the colors.
Yes. So I sent an artist your way. Jenny said she loved the music. Did Cameo get booked?
I believe so, yes. I don't know what, you know what? I might actually be able to tell you exactly when.
Cameo.
Potato, potato.
Yep.
I don't have that on my list here, but I'm pretty sure. I know they've talked. I know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for your insight, Ashley, Mayo did a presentation or did a show called My Queer Faith at the UU Church in Nashua.
Okay.
And part of what she did was she was brought up evangelical, so evangelical she got baptized twice, was out there converting people and, you know, blah, 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 and the whole time struggling when she realized that her attraction was to women and there was not going to be a perfect man for her.
Gotcha.
And she's a singer-songwriter, so as she's telling her story, she stops and plays songs that she wrote to represent different parts of it.
Oh, beautiful.
And she's right up in Dover, New Hampshire. So I was like, well, I got somebody I want you to meet. And Matt Connerton came into our conversation. So happy
baptized to be- twice. That's interesting. So she's a double dipper. I don't know if you can do that. Is that even legal?
You don't get invited to parties that way.
Yeah, that's a problem.
So there is a possibility because I am doing an event at the end of the week and I'm going to disappear off screen for a second. Because I realized I did not bring up one of my pages I needed.
You sound different when you're off screen.
Do I sound different? Well, I'm
because
I'm farther away.
Right, but it's kind of a cool effect. It's like you become a ghost.
Now you've
become a train. I don't understand.
You didn't like my ghost.
No, it sounds like a train.
Be that way.
Sounds like you're going, choo-choo, I'm a ghost.
You too, Charlie is an engineer. Ashley was like, I don't know if I want to do the political show. She has no idea.
I think I'm going to rearrange Matt and me on the screen so that you guys, and I'll just sit there.
But I'm going to do the astrology. There's not a lot new different things going on this week. But this week, we have on Wednesday the 8th, we have a new moon. Whenever there is a new moon, that new moon is an opportunity for us to decide to make a new commitment to something, to work on something, to put kind of some goal out. I always look at all the moons like a new moon, a full moon. They're all 3-day cycles. So what you do is you put this new moon and you put it out, and in around 6 months in the same sign, it will be a full moon. And so it's like a time period where you can go to the full moon and go back and say, what was the things that I did in the new moon on May 8th? Like I said, like, these are my goals, or this is something I want to manifest, or this is something I want to work on. And the energy is there for you to do that. And of course, depending on where the new moon is the area of life that you should be looking at or dealing with. So in this case, now Matt's not a real astro guy. So,
well, here's the thing. I don't know if I've told you this, Dr. Kevin. I'm a skeptic by nature. However, I do acknowledge, as a Scorpio, if I look up the traits and characteristics of a Scorpio, it does accurately describe me. I cannot deny that. And I'm a big fan of the song New Moon on Monday by Duran Duran.
So this new moon in this case is going to be hitting you in the seventh house, which is a good time for you to put energy towards partnerships of some kind, whether it is energy of maybe something you and Jenny would like to do within your partnership or other partnerships. They don't have to be romantic partnerships. They could be business partnerships. If there's something that you've been, you know, thinking that, hey, I've really wanted to do this with Kevin, now would be on May 8th would be a good time to talk about it and say, okay, let's talk about this, you know, a different show or a special, or, you know, we've done a lot of different things through the years.
Mm-hmm.
Some we can't mention on air. And for Ashley, that new moon is in your eighth house. So, you know, eighth house, we always call it the house of death and taxes.
Oh my goodness. What a terrible house that sounds like.
It's the house of Scorpio, yo, Matt.
Oh, no.
Secrets, rituals, occult, power. So
my house is the house of death and taxes? That sounds terrible.
Regeneration, sexual activity.
That's why I'm a renter, by the way.
Ah.
I don't want to live in the eighth house.
God. So, but it would also be a time if you wanted to do something with joint finances or... You know, it's also a time where it's a good energy to do legal things like wills and trusts and stuff like that, that this would be the time for you, Ashley, in the eighth house. And I said, Matt, for you, it is in the seventh house. So it's partnership.
Oh, good. Oh, seven's a lucky number. So I'm in the lucky house.
Yeah, you're in the want to get lucky house. No.
I was confused. I thought I was in the house of death. But that's no, Ashley. That's you're in the house of death. Okay.
I'm in the house of taxes more than death, probably.
Oh, okay. All right.
But yeah, they go together.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we don't have a lot going on Monday, May 13th. We have the sun conjuncting Uranus. Uranus is a planet of unpredictability. It's a planet where just you get surprises. It's got the nature of electricity, but it's usually about doing some kind of betterment, either in your world or the world. Ideally, it's something that improves you that also spills into improving the world. And so that's going on May 13th, that conjunction is happening. And again, that's going to be Matt in your seventh house and Ashley in your eighth house. So again, that's where the unpredictability is going to be. No, that's May 13th. I jumped ahead a week. Sorry. That's not even happening right now. It's a conjunction in Chiron. Sorry about that. 5-7. For you, that's in the seventh house, Ashley.
That's a sun. I'm sorry, sun conjunct with Chiron.
Mercury conjunct with Chiron.
What is this? I have a question. What does this mean, conjunct, in this context?
So conjunct means that they're on top of each other.
Okay.
And so, as the planets in the sky go through their yearly cycle, they're going to hit different planets that were where they were when you were born. And so they're going to activate that energy. In this case, Mercury is coming up on both of on the Chiron is conjuncting Chiron in the sky. So this means actually, this is not your birth chart. This is it's conjuncting it in the sky. I misspoke before. Oh. And it's going to do so in Ashley's seventh house on May 7th and your eighth house, Matt.
So we now, switched places.
Oh no. I didn't want to switch houses. That's terrible.
Well, you know, it's interesting because Chiron is the wounded healer and Mercury is the planet of communication. So it's going to be an opportunity in a place where you have some kind of wound that you may be able to do something about moving past or doing something with and be able to communicate it in a way that's healing. It's an opportunity. It's a good thing. It's an opportunity.
Okay.
For Matt in that eighth house, for you, it could be an opportunity for some kind of something that, you know, you felt maybe has held you back and you're ready to like transform or regenerate something, stuff like this. For Ashley, it's in that house of partnerships. But again, doesn't have to be romantic partnerships. Mm-hmm. So that's really all that's going on as far as things shifting. I mean, we got a sun in Taurus. That sun in Taurus is hanging out in between your seventh and eighth house, Matt. Ashley, it's hanging out between your seventh and eighth house. So that's where things are getting illuminated. And that's the astrology. For those of you that are listening to the astrology, and you would say, hey, it's kind of neat to know what's going on in the skies and where it affects me and how it affects me. I want to recommend that if you have an astrology chart, that this is the time for you to take it out and look at it. If you have an astrology chart and you're like, I'm clueless, I got this online, it was free, I have no idea what it says, I'm reading hieroglyphics, it makes me want to go to Egypt every time I take it out, but you really want to understand astrology and make it part of your decision-making process, send an email to me, reach out, and we can set up a time to do your chart so that you can take advantage that every week we're going to say where things are. If you actually have a chart and enough of an understanding about that chart, you can then have more information with which to make better decisions, because that's what it's all about.
I'm not so much into charts. Graphs are okay.
We can make a graph for you.
Yeah, I'd like a graph. That'd be wonderful. Thank you.
I could try graphing something, you know, like from this side of your face to that side of the face and put the graph right over if you'd like.
I don't understand what that means. I thought you had
I could graft a piece of skin over your lips.
Oh, well, that's like out of a horror movie or something. Why would you do that, Dr. Kevin? That's crazy. Crazy. You say crazy things.
You making fun of my astrology again.
No.
I heard you.
I kid because I love.
Aw, you love me.
But like I said though, I mean I'm naturally a skeptic, but like I said, if I look up the traits and characteristics of a Scorpio, that's me.
So, which is interesting because Ashley, with Ashley, your Scorpio rising and his Scorpio, and then the way that he has Libra rising, it's an interesting thing. You two would actually get along really well. But so Matt, before we go all through the time, we will have some end of the show guests that have been invited to show up to talk about an event this weekend that I am going to be at. In Rochester, New Hampshire. But before we get there, fill us in on what's going on politically. What's standing out to you? Now, I know you're not doing your show. Matt used to do a Monday through Friday drive time show that for a long time was mostly politics and then shifted and shifted and shifted. And then finally he went to his first love. which was not being so much of a political analyst.
I love kitties.
Hi, Freya.
Hi, Freya.
Aww.
Can I weigh in on this? Well, Matt, tell me, what's going on in the country? They're all crazy right now.
Wow, Dr. Kevin, your cat sounds just like you.
Well, you know, they say when you've been together long enough, you start to sound alike.
I've never heard that in my life.
What is politically standing out to you these days? Because I had to put on this show to kind of get your view of the world.
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing, of course, is Trump and his legal issues. I've kind of given up on trying to keep track of which judge is on which trial. I'm fascinated that he keeps falling asleep in court. I think that's kind of fun. I guess when I was a kid and my dad would fall asleep, he would say he was just resting his eyes. And maybe that's what the former president is doing. But maybe someday he'll go into a deep slumber in the middle of court and just slip into a coma or something. Not that I would wish that on anyone. That's bad karma. But if it happened, it'd be pretty awesome. I'm not wishing for it, but I just, you know, if it happens, I'll be glad.
You'll what? Good.
I mean, it'd be great, you know. Yeah. Of course, you know, MAGA people would claim that Biden had poisoned him or something. But yeah, I mean, that's you know, there's that, all the Trump trials. And then, of course, there's Israel and Palestine and what else? Those are the two big things right now. Biggest.
So what do you think, Judge Mershon? Do you think he'll actually, because we all know that Trump is not going to stop breaking the gag order.
Right.
Do you think he'll put him in jail for a couple of days?
He may have to. It may get to that point. Which I think Trump would like, actually, because it only, you know, as we've talked about many times on the show, Trump is unique in that the more that goes against him, the stronger he gets among his supporters, you know, because he has MAGA convinced that he's being persecuted. And of course, you know, I mean, I see memes on, I'm sure you see them too, on social media of, you know, Trump as some sort of presented as some sort of savior and Christ figure and martyr. And, you know, so I think that the worse it goes for him legally, the more money he's able to raise, you know, and he's banking on getting elected. And then he can make not necessarily all of this, but a lot of it go away. So I think he secretly would like it if he had to sit in a jail cell for a couple of days. I think he'd raise a lot of money off of that.
Well, his single donations have really dipped. I don't know if you saw that. I think he's tapping out the poor.
Yeah.
The people, the single donors for the most part are not the most well-heeled of individuals. And then he's got the billionaires who want to be America, you know, America's version of Russian oligarchs and be above the law, with Trump leading the way of being above the law.
The one to watch right now is Miriam Adelson, Sheldon Adelson's widow. And what she decides to do with all that money, because Trump is actively like, Trump isn't even subtle about it. He's not capable of being subtle. He goes out and compliments her and talks about how much he liked her now deceased husband, Sheldon. And it's obvious what he's doing. He's trying to get that money, but that doesn't mean she's necessarily going to give him that money. But if she does, you know, that'll help him buy the election.
Have you heard anything about whether they're going to refuse to accept his bond for the $175 million?
I'm still a bit confused by all of that. I'm not even sure where that stands at this point, but that's been pretty funny to watch. You know, he claims he has all this money and he can afford whatever. But then it turns out, no, he did have to, or his lawyers had to negotiate something. And then the bonding company can't do business in New York or something. And it's very messy. And I'm not even clear on it all, to be honest with you. But he certainly does not have as much liquid assets as he claims to.
He doesn't have anything as much as he claims to, except bravado. So what are you thinking about his VP pick? Do you think that you're getting anything on what he might be, who he might be picking for a VP?
I think he'll pick a woman. I don't think it's going to be Carrie Lake because reports are he's become a bit turned off by her because, I mean, as much as MAGA likes crazy, even they have their limits and she brings a little too much crazy. But I think Kristi Noem is it South Dakota that she's governor of? South Dakota, right? I think she might be the pick. I know that Kathy Mace, she would like to be chosen, but I think it could be Kristi Noem. I can see that. I do think he'll pick a woman because, and there's going to be a lot of pressure on him to do so because, you know, he likes to take credit for Roe v. Wade being overturned. So he's going to want to do whatever he can to not seem like he's against women. So a good way to inoculate himself in that way might be to choose a woman. You know, so he can have a woman standing next to him while he's bragging about, you know, taking women's reproductive rights away from them. So, you know, I do think he's going to pick a woman.
Do you think that Kristi Noem became more attractive, or do you think she shot herself in the foot by this whole thing about her bragging about killing her dog, her 14-month-old dog, because he couldn't be trained because he was untrainable as a hunting dog. So she shot him. You know that whole mess.
Oh yeah.
Got some goats, and I think there's also she killed some horses. I know the goat and the dog, and then somewhere I heard something that somewhere in her book she brags about also killing some horses.
Oh really? I didn't know about that.
She sounds like a peach.
Yeah.
Ashley is just joining us after visiting visiting Portugal, so I don't know how much she's current news.
Yeah. I also live under a rock most of the time with politics.
Oh, I know what I need to do. Right.
But killing a 14-month-old dog, do you think that's going to come back to bite her?
No.
If he picks it?
No, because that's going to blow over. That's going to blow over. A week from now, people won't even remember. They'll be on to the next thing. It's a weird story, and it's 20 years ago, so I'm not really, there's plenty of other things about her that we can be concerned about. I think I'm no fan of her, but I think that's going to blow over. And I don't think the audience that Trump appeals to actually cares about the dog anyway. Right. So I don't think it matters.
What's that?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of interesting because I bet there are some MAGAs out there that are pretty attached to their pets.
And but when their orange Jesus tells them this is my choice for Veep, that's all that's all that matters to them. They're not going to say, "Oh, really? He picked her? Didn't she kill her 14-month-old dog?" They're not going to care once Trump tells them, you know, this is who you're supposed to like now, they'll say, okay, yes, master, we like her now. She's great. I mean, he's always had that power over them. Going all the way back to 2016, or actually 2015, I guess, technically, right? When he first announced he was running, and he said that thing about John McCain. You know, John McCain, who had been revered as a war hero. And Trump says something bad about John McCain, says he's not a war hero. And all of a sudden, every Republican in the country says, oh, okay, I guess we all hate John McCain now. You know, he just, whatever Trump tells them, they're just going to go with. So it won't matter. He could pick, as crazy as she is, he could pick Carrie Lake. And he'll just tell them, no, she's not crazy. And that's why I'm choosing her. And they'll say, oh, okay, I guess she's not crazy. You know, our God Emperor has told us that we're supposed to like her now.
Well, he might just pick Ron Santos and put Ron in dress. We know how Ron loves drag. We'll just, you know, part him up and put him in heels and, you know,
sure.
Decollete, and he'll, you know, and he'll tromp Ron around. They'll all love him.
Well, but they did make up, you know. They had a little summit. I guess they made up.
Yeah.
The two Florida men.
Well, I heard the sound and I realized that was the sound of Ron's lips puckering up and to Trump's butt.
Oh my. That's a very specific image.
Yep. Yep. Well, you know, before he could stick his head back up Trump's butt where half the other people live right now.
Where are you going with this?
You know, he had to clear his way so he could stick his butt back up so he could get a place on the cabinet, or, you know, we all know how it works.
Yeah, these are things I want to think about in terms of Ron DeSantis and where he puts his butt and what he's doing with it. What's that, Ashley?
He can keep his butt to himself.
That's right. That's right.
No, it's his lips and Trump's butt.
Okay.
Oh, yes, well, Trump can keep his rear to himself as well.
That have their head up there right now. It's probably the biggest piece of real estate he owns.
Well, he's a big guy.
Trump. He is a big guy. I was just thinking, like, his ass has got to be kind of
broad. Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, you see the pictures of him.
There's a lot of surface to
cover. When you see the pictures of him golfing, yeah, he's quite rotund.
So
he's thick. I think that's what the young people say.
Now, he's
living a good life.
Asked that. You know, he's not going to make it if he doesn't get enough support from the independents. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Republican Party has been shrinking over the last few years, you know, and moving into independent, you know, moving, like, they can't bring themselves to be Democrats, but they also have kind of washed their hands of the Trump GOP party. How much is... You know, when you say, well, they won't care about Kristi Noem if it comes up and the Democrats ride the, oh, that's who you want, you know, when he dies in office to run the country. You know, independents, are they still the deciding vote?
Well, I think they always are to a large degree. You know, I mean, typically Republicans vote Republican, Democrats vote Democrat, and independents, last I knew, I mean, the number fluctuates, but last I knew it was about, I think, 44% of the electorate is actually independent or undeclared. I think in New Hampshire, we say undeclared. So, yeah, that may be who saves us from Trump. But then again, I mean, if RFK is on the ballot and, you know, some of them might go for RFK. And there's a lot of debate about who does that hurt more, Trump or Biden. It's kind of an open question.
Somebody else that was Republican, I just heard through their hat into the ring, because, you know, RFK is poorest excuse I've seen for a Democrat, but he's always aligned with Democratic, and, you know, he tries to run off the lance left over from Camelot. But there was another Republican, somebody who was in the Republican, and I didn't actually even recognize his name, but just threw his hat in for presidential
You mean just now, like today?
The last few days. The last few days. It hasn't been very long.
It's got past me.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember who it was. And I can't remember if they were just, they were talking about jumping in or, or that they, but they had gotten, no, I think because they had gotten in a number of states. Democrats, Republicans, Christie Review, Ron Santos, Nick, they did. They don't even list the independents on here. So they don't have, Marianne Williamson is still listed.
Yeah, because she had gotten out, but then gotten back in.
Yeah.
I don't know what her current status is. I mean, that's who I voted for in the primary because she appeared on my show, and that's how, that's how I vote. You know, if you appear on my show, I'll vote for you. Very loyal.
You get Trump on your show.
I was just going to ask.
Yeah. No, I mean, I have my limit. Trump would never come on my show anyway. I wouldn't think. He probably thinks I'm a communist. He probably thinks I'm like a woke leftist, whatever. You know, he just throws these terms around.
Yeah.
I don't imagine.
A lot of them, if you ask him.
No, no. Most of them who use these terms, they can't tell you. They can't tell you what woke means. They can't tell you what socialism is. They know they're against it, but they can't define it.
One of the things, and anytime you want to ask a question, feel free, Ashley. I know that you're kind of here hanging out to see if this is a show you want to return to in a month.
I'm being the fly on the wall, so don't mind me.
There were people making some big deal about what happened in Pennsylvania. That even though she's been off the ballot for 6 weeks, there was a decent number of people that voted for Nikki Haley instead of Donald Trump, even though she withdrew.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was it, 13,000 or something? I mean, it wasn't like, it was a number that they said would have made a difference. Do you think that, I mean, if people are motivated enough to get out to vote in a primary just to vote against him,
mm-hmm.
are they going to sit home on election day, or are they going to go Biden, or are they going to bite the bullet and say, well, I have to vote the Republican?
They'll do that. They'll do that. That's why some people, well, it, actually, I'll tell you what, I don't know if you have been following our governor. Oh, I say yes. Our governor, because of course we both live here in New Hampshire. But Chris Sununu, who spoke out quite a bit against Trump, has now finally endorsed Trump after saying a lot of really bad things about him. And I left after he appeared on George Stephanopoulos's show and smugly endorsed Trump and just completely went back on everything bad he said about him. I posted this, and to his credit, this has not been removed from his Facebook. I posted this to Chris Sununu on Facebook on April 15. I said, saw your interview on Stephanopoulos. I had previously defended you many times on my radio show as not being a typical MAGA Republican. I was wrong to do so. As soon as it was politically expedient, you lost your spine and rejoined the cult. Career-wise, that's a smart move. You might just be New Hampshire's version of Lindsey Graham. Congrats.
Ouch. Nice.
And I took a screenshot out of it because I was sure it would get deleted. So I took a screenshot and posted it on the Matt Connerton Unleashed page. But it's actually still there. So.
All right.
But they all fall in line, is my point.
So let's talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's getting ready to have House Speaker Johnson removed.
Mm-hmm.
He says she's going to go forward with it.
Yeah.
The Dems say they're going to save him. Talk to me. What do you think's going on there?
I actually think this is an unpopular opinion, but I think the Democrats should have saved Kevin McCarthy back when that was going on. I understand why they didn't, because it's really hard to save someone who's going on the Sunday morning talk shows and talking about how much he hates you and doesn't want your help. But I still think they should have saved him at that time, because to avoid the chaos that ensued, and now they're going to have to save Mike Johnson. But they should make sure that they get something in return for it. But I do think they should save him, because otherwise it's going to be more chaos, which is not good for the country. You know, it might be good for Democrats politically in a sense that, you know, it just makes the Republicans look bad. It makes them look like they can't govern, rightfully so. But I think it also, I think it might sting just as much politically that they have to step in and save him. So I think they should do it just to avoid a lot of chaos. And I will even compliment Mike Johnson on this. I'm glad that he was able to face down members of his own party on funding for Ukraine, which I think is important. And the funding for Israel, that gets a little complicated. That's an entire other conversation. But, you know, but I think it's important to stand up for Ukraine. I've said that from the beginning. And Mike Johnson thinks so, too. And he had to face down members of his own party, because there is a very strong pro-Russia element in the Republican Party. And again, that's because of Trump, right? Because Trump likes Putin, so they have to like Putin, too. So, I think they should save. I think they should save Mike Johnson. I mean, he's a weird guy and there's a lot to dislike about him. But he's gotten a couple things right. I do think they should save him.
Yeah, well, you know, Moscow Marge is, you know, throwing up a lot of stuff. My understanding is she throws a fit every time somebody hashtags Moscow Marge.
Yeah, she should own it, you know? I mean, why not? If she loves Putin so much, you know, own it. Lean into it. Lean into it there, Marge.
You know, about that whole thing, you want to know what bothered me most about when all of the Ukraine-Israel funding went down?
What?
Was that Mike Johnson wasn't as pro-Ukraine. And he wasn't as pro-Ukraine at the very beginning. But once he got access to the information that only he gets access to, along with stuff like that, he came back and he's like, nope, we absolutely need to do this. Mm-hmm. If you saw what I saw, you would understand. And I went, whoa. So we know we're not getting the whole story. You know, that definitely did. Was the thing I noticed most about it was how much actually seeing what he now has the right to see has mm-hmm. shifted his position in some of these ways, where we know that the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the Matt Gaetz and the Lauren Boebert's are not, they don't get access to that information.
Well, I do give him credit for that, too, because not only in politics, but just in life in general, just broadly speaking, it seems to me that human beings should operate in a way where if you have an opinion about something and then you get more information and you learn more about that subject, you should be able to take in that information and be able to change your mind, change your opinion. If you're taking in more information that sways you in some way, and be able to do that openly and say, I've changed my mind about this, and here's why. I have more information now. I have more knowledge. Knowledge is power. You should be able to do that. You should be able to do that in politics. You should be able to do that in life. But people don't like to do that, especially in politics, because then they get labeled a flip-flopper or whatever. But it's perfectly valid to change your mind about something if you acquire more information, more knowledge about it, and it alters your perspective. And if that's what happened here and he learned more about it and it changed his mind, great, good for him. And good for him for saying, I learned more. I know things I didn't know before, and it has changed my mind. And I actually find something admirable about that. It shouldn't be admirable in the sense that that should just be what they do. You know, you learn more, you change your mind. But in politics, you're generally not allowed to do that. And that's a problem on not only on the right, but on the left, too. Just politics in general, you change your mind about something. Everyone goes, oh, why'd they change their mind? Is it because, you know, is it because of who they're getting money from, who's donating to them? And very often that is the case, unfortunately, if someone does change their mind. But if he had an honest change of heart because of more information that he learned, great. Good on him, you know.
Okay. I'm going to bring in Tom now to introduce himself and talk about an event that he is a co-creator of, I believe. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I know we had also invited your partner. Is she for the show? Is she
Leslie's not able to make it. She had another event.
Okay.
To work.
So,
I just have to ask Tom, are you in our gang?
He probably wasn't watching the earlier part of the show.
Oh, no, we have a gang.
I was trying to find the link to get into it. Otherwise, I would have been on a long time ago.
Oh, so you even have, you should just join. You'll love it. Join our gang.
They were making fun because in my visual for my screen, Tom, I go, welcome to the Kevin Ross Emery Show with, and I point to
me.
Goldstein. And then I was going, and tonight's guest. Yeah. And Matt's going, what are you in a gang or what are you doing there? And I'm like, yeah. I'm pointing at the pictures.
It's our gang sign. I think it's fun.
Welcome to the crazy. Hopefully you'll fit in.
Nothing wrong with a little crazy.
Nope. Yeah. So I want you to talk about the event on Saturday, event I'm going to be at doing psychic readings. Can you give us some information about the event? And
yeah, it's in Rochester at the American Legion. We will have readers, different vendors. I know there's some 3D printers, some soap makers. We'll be there with our CBD. Me and my son own a CBD company. I think we're over 40 vendors right now. So yeah. Hopefully we'll have a good day and lots of people will come in. I know some people are doing jewelry. There's a pretty good wide variety of vendors right now.
So that is May 4th, right?
Yep, May 4th this Saturday.
And it's from 10 to 4?
10 to 3.
10 to 3. Okay, so what I'm going to do is do that. And there we go. It should be, is it running across the bottom? No, it's not. Oh, yeah.
I got it.
Oh, you got it? There you go. I was going to say, I just typed it up. So at the American Legion, Rochester, New Hampshire, 10 to 3. I do so many events. This one's like mystical what?
Stacy and Jeff usually do one called Mystical Magic from Underground Minerals and More. They're not doing one this year, so me and Leslie are doing it this year, so it continues to run. Ours is just, I can't remember what the sign said. It's just for minerals, readers, and more vendors.
Okay.
So I don't think we actually put an actual name on it.
Yeah, there's the name on the Facebook page for it.
Is there?
I've shared it. I've put it out there. You know, I've been doing the spiritual psychic stuff. I'm in my 34th year full time that this is what I do.
Wow, that's awesome.
So, you know, one thing I know how to do is, I have you ever seen the places where, you know, they'll have the dancer, they'll do the dancers and half is male and half is female. And, you know, they'll go back and forth. There was a whole style of it. It was very popular in the 20s, but it comes back every now and then where they'll do a half and half. So, you know, they'll dress half male. And then on the other half, they'll dress female and like they'll switch partners and dance so that the female half is always dancing with the male half. And then they turn around and they go the other way. I can't remember what it's called, but I always think of that when I go, I am both the pimp and the prostitute for myself. My pimp is come and get an everything psychic reading at the American Legion in Rochester, New Hampshire between 10 and 3 on May 4th. And then the pimp, and then the prostitute shows up at the table and says, pay me and I read.
In Las Vegas, that's legal. You can do it that way.
It is in parts of Las Vegas.
Well, you know, I worked in Las Vegas close to 10 years, five times a year. I taught at a MBA level boot camp for entrepreneurs in Las Vegas. I was part of the faculty. So we'd go in five times a year, 10 days. I would stay within walking distance of the strip, even though the place that we taught was in actually Lake Las Vegas and stuff like that. So I've walked many a Vegas street. That's all I'm saying.
It's been a long time since I've been there. I'd love to go back.
So you and your son have a, you said a CBD?
Yes, me and my son own a CBD company. Okay. Called NH Green Health. We sell all different CBD products, including CBD pet treats, creams, and tinctures.
We actually have a guest coming up that is a chef in a few weeks, who does like really nice. I'm gonna call it high end, but it's like really nice, like chocolates and really like high level food you'd get at a really good restaurant, all with CBD stuff in it.
That's awesome. CBD has come such a long ways. It's amazing.
I love CBD.
It's amazing for the animals. We actually sell it in a pet store right now. We're going into a medical store. And we have a place in Hampton, Hampshire. We're doing very well with it. We're growing, but we're growing very small, and that's the way we want to be.
Good.
Everything is tested third party.
Yeah. This the guest of mine that's coming on, she's a client of mine, and I kind of partially because I do all the psychic work, and then I also do the business consulting work, and then I do the medical intuitive work, and then I do whatever, you know, I've cleaned floors and whatever. And
whatever it takes.
Kevin, fun floors. Wow.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I had to get familiar with the process, like what she could do in Maine. Maine is different than New Hampshire.
Yes, it is.
You know, all of these things. New Hampshire's kind of backwards when it comes to CBD.
Yep.
And yet it's the live free or die state.
Just don't take CBD.
That's right.
Yeah.
CBD is legal in pretty much all. It is legal in all states. They did just make Delta 80 legal in New Hampshire.
They made what legal?
Delta 8. They made that illegal. So Delta 8 is it's from the hemp plant, but it's infused with the process puts marijuana back into it, THC back into it.
Oh.
So they did just make that illegal, but that'll change again after I'm sure there'll be lawsuits over it.
Yeah.
Well, it's all going to Schedule 3 now anyway, federally. So that might help.
We go by, we get some of our stuff. We can't make all of our stuff. So we get it from some of the companies that we tell them we have them make what we want. One of our creams is made in Florida for us, and they're very, very strict on their laws out there. So we just stuck with everything. We have QR codes on everything that you can scan to get the testing from and everything else.
That's great.
Well, back in the day when I lived in Colorado and we just grew it in the basement, you know,
that wasn't CBD.
Yeah.
No.
No, but where do you think CBD came from?
The male plant.
You gotta be nice to my girls.
Right?
But yeah, it was kind of like, it's Colorado, it's not legal, we don't care.
We're waiting for our caregiver's license to come in because we are in the state. We live in Maine. So my son's becoming a caregiver for marijuana too.
Excellent.
Yeah. That'll all be tested third party too.
Good.
So again, you're welcome to stay on. We've got 5 minutes left of the show. We're going to move the conversation back. First Thursday of the month, we always do, Matt comes on and we talk about politics and what's going on in the world. And then we next week, in fact, I'll mention it now because we're getting close. We have Amber McMahon on.
The Karma Queen, right?
The Karma Queen. So that will be our guest next week on the show. So you can, people can tune in then.
Why is she called the Karma Queen? I'm curious.
You're going to have to. You're gonna have to tune in to find out.
Be a good name for a band.
Yeah,
it would be.
Yeah. Matt has a show every Saturday morning at a WMNH 95.3. It's also on mattconnerton.com where he does local and national musicians. But you really try to specialize in highlighting as much local as you can, local bands.
Oh yeah.
It's a music show.
Mostly, yeah.
So you usually have a lot to say about where you feel like Dems are dropping the ball. Do you think that's getting any better, or are they still got greasy fingers and is that ball still all over the place?
No, I still think they're going to sleepwalk their way into the election and Trump will be elected. I do. I just don't think they have the fight in them that they need. You know, I always say, you know, Democrats bring a knife to a gunfight, and if it's a knife fight, they show up with a plastic spork. It's just their nature. So,
I unfortunately, like you.
thank you, Tom. So it's their nature, and it's, you know, they believe in things like fairness, I guess, more than the other side does, but a little too much, you know. But then when they try to, if they do try to play dirty, they screw it up. I mean, that's how. That's how George Santos got elected. The gerrymandering, the Democrats actually took a shot at in New York that election, and they screwed it up and elected George Santos. So
they're trying to do anything they can right now to keep him out.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said he was going to run for another.
He's going to run again. That's what he says.
Trump?
No, Santos.
Oh, no. I'm talking about Trump, though. They're going to do anything they can to keep him out.
I hope so. I'd like to see them do a lot more. I don't know. I really wish Biden hadn't decided to run again.
What is, I mean, we're down to 2 minutes. You know, I want to let people know we do have a SIP event coming up. And the SIP event we're having coming up is on karma. And I think Amber is going to be on that as one of our panelists. That is going to be SIP, is Spiritual Interactive Panel. Oh. And you can go to the New Hampshire Metaphysical Facebook page to sign up. It's a free event. And I do want to say that is coming up. We're doing that one on Sunday, May 19th at 6 p.m. So if you go to Facebook, / New Hampshire Metaphysical, you can get the link there or get the information on how to get the link to join us on those. We have a panel that talks about the subject, and then we invite guests to ask questions or to do things. It goes about an hour and a half, and again, there's no cost to it. Myself, I'll be running the panel. Nancy Smith from Angelscape will be there. Raina Wilson from Pearl's Flame and Amber the Karma Queen will be on that SIP as well. Is there anything coming up for you, Matt, before we close down?
I would just say please tune in Saturday morning, 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Matt Connerton Unleashed. If you happen to be in Manchester, New Hampshire, you can hear it at 95.3 FM, but you can stream it anywhere, mattconnerton.com.
There you go. Ashley, you got any closing words before we close down?
No, just thank you for letting me be a fly on the wall in your political show. But I did enjoy getting to hang out with everybody. And Tom, nice to meet you. But
nice,
Matt,
to meet you guys.
Tom, Matt. So until next time.
Thank you very much for having me.
And thank you all for being in a gang with me.
Yes.
And Tom, I'll get to meet you in person on Saturday. I'm assuming you're going to be there.
Yes, we will be there.
I will see you there.
All right. Okay. It's good meeting you. Thank you again. Hopefully we'll have a lot of people.
Take care.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.